Fresh fruit's what we're talking about. Who likes fresh fruit? Who likes dry fruit? Who does not like fruit at all? Anybody? Okay, it's honest. Nope. I don't really like raisins. Just going to be honest. Talk about raisin cakes in the Bible, I'm like, so? But I love fruit. Fruit is so good, and it's like this natural sugar. Kathy, are you watching? It's natural sugar. You guys, we're talking about this beyond normal fruit, though, when we're talking about fresh fruit. We're talking about the fruit that comes from the Holy Spirit, like relationship with God that he paid for you. Remember, we talked about that. That he rose from the dead, that he ascended and he sent his Spirit to be in us and to not only help us, but to empower us to bear fruit and fruit that lasts. And we've talked about that fruit quite a bit, but we're going to keep going. We've talked about love and joy, and today we're talking about peace. If you want to join me in Galatians 5, 22 through 23, we're going to talk about that just a little bit more as a little bit of an intro. And you might remember that there's stuff that comes from our bodies, right? There's stuff that comes from our lives where we're in charge, where we do things, and it's a mess. It's nasty fruit. It's gross. All kinds of things. And I'm not even going to list those again. But the warning in that is that if you live a life that's based off of you and your ways, that is going to bring fruit. And it's not good. And if you make a lifestyle of that and you don't submit to the Lord, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. You'll be separated. God doesn't want that. Verse 22 brings the glorious exception. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So we're talking about peace today. There's no law against peace. There's no law against joy or love, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness. Self-control? There's no law against it, but there's opposition. So what is peace? What do you guys, when you hear the word peace, what do you think? What is peace?
Calmness.
Calmness. Good. Thank you. Love. Good.
Assurance.
Very good. No worry about nothing.
It's the best when it comes
when you least expect it. Maybe a peace that passes understanding.
Right.
Maybe we'll look at a verse like that in just a couple of minutes.
No violence.
Standing in the breeze. Standing in the breeze. Nice. It was really warm yesterday at the wedding that I was at, and I was like fixing to wear this wool jacket. I'm like, gosh, they don't really care what I look like. Plus, Kayla, she made the sun look dim yesterday. She was like, I'm like, nah, nobody worries about me. So, but then I got a breeze. I'm like, oh, yeah. God is good. Is he good when there is violence, though? Say it again.
Within you.
Look, I was looking up what is peace and all these different things that we've talked about, and a lot of other things were in my mind, and then I see this blog by literally a woman named Audrey, and she's from Canada. And her blog is called wordsoffaithhopelove.com. She borrowed heavily as well from the Bible Project, and so I give those brothers and sisters from there props for today's message. But I looked up what is peace as a result of what I'd already written down in notes and stuff that I'd been studying. I just wanted to see what people thought, and a lot of it kind of kept coming back to these ideas. You guys know the word shalom. And with you as well. It comes from the word shalom, or shalem, depending on how you want to pronounce it. And this word is not just peace. Hey, shalom in your home. See what I did there? I rhymed. Yeah. Peace in the Middle East. It's so much deeper. It's wholeness, completion, being restored, being made one with God and others. There's a whole lot. It's a word of welfare. I'm going to bring you back, if you will, to Genesis 43. Some of you will remember this. It's the story of Joseph, and we spent some time on him, right? He has this wonderful opportunity to get his brothers back. They don't even know that it's him. If you don't know the story, you'll have to go and read it. Enjoy it. It's outstanding. But his brothers went home to tell their dad that they had to leave another brother in Egypt. And then he sent them back finally, and they return. And in Genesis 43, 27, Joseph asks a question about shalom, the shalom of his father. But they don't know that he is also his father. So he inquired about their welfare. And he said, is your father well? The old man of whom you spoke? Is he still alive? Shalom. Is he well? How's your welfare? Is he alive? Is he whole? Is he complete? Is he good? Is it good with your dad? This is shalom. Do you know that you can be alive and well even when everything around you isn't? Renee had said it, it's within you, right? It's this table set for you in the presence of your enemies. Well, that's the Old Testament word and reminder and truth of the word shalom or shalom or shalem. This idea that there's wholeness and there's completion and there's unity with God. When you hear me say shalom, I'm not just tossing it out because I know one or two Hebrew words. I'm saying it because I want oneness for you with God. I want peace for you. I do want the absence of conflict between you and him. But I want you to know the completion and the wholeness and being part of something much bigger than yourself in God by his grace, even if there's no lack of craziness, violence, war around you. But we get into the New Testament, and you've got a different language that takes root. It's Greek. Same purpose, though. There's this Greek word when you hear and read the word peace that is eirene. And it's a variation, but it's just as different expression of this wholeness and this completion and this being made one. Let's go to Matthew 10, 13. You're going to see some really cool things in that if you read ahead of time. But I'm just going to cherry pick one verse here. But he sends out the apostles, wants them to bring peace. This shalom, this eirene, he wants them to bring it. They've been given it, and now they can bring it. And he brings up a point in here that's very, very real about peace. Not everybody wants it. Talk about it. They want what they want. We want what we want. But do we want what God wants? Check this out. Jesus says, go to the house and greet it in verse 12, he says. But verse 13, he says, and if the house is worthy, let your peace, your eirene, come upon it. What you've been given, this oneness, this wholeness, this ministry to bring peace to people, let that go upon them. If they're worthy. But if the house is not worthy, let your eirene return to you. Some people don't want it. I mean, seriously, we already know how silly this sounds, but can you force peace on anybody? How many of you are parents? You ever try to force peace on your kids? I mean, seriously, you can lead a horse to water. You can give them opportunities, but peace has to be received. Let's go with that. As I was kicking through this amazing blog by Audrey from Canada, I knew where I wanted to land, and well, somehow God had talked to Audrey about this a long time ago and talked to the amazing people at the Bible Project about it as well. And we all came to this similar conclusion. Peace is not just a thing. Judges 6:24. You might remember this guy Gideon. He's kind of the weenie of the weeniest clan, right? And Yahweh shows up and says, "Hey, how you doing, mighty man of valor?" And he's like, "What? You got the wrong cat. I'm not mighty. I'm a weenie." And he says, "Wait a minute. I said this to you. I'm the Lord. This is good." And he's like, "Well, if you're the Lord, show me some stuff." God said, "Okay." And he touches this offering, this sacrifice, really, that Gideon makes with the staff, and it flames out, and he freaks out. "Ah, I saw the Lord. I'm gonna die." And God says, "Peace, man. You're gonna be all right. Don't fear. You're not gonna die." So Gideon responds to this by building an altar there to the Lord, and he called it "The Lord is Peace." Yahweh Shalom. To this day, it still stands at Ophrah, which belongs to the Abizarites. I know it's not Christmas time, but would you just humor me in knowing that the Bible was written before Christmas became a thing? And God's been around since before the Bible was here. And he's always been awesome. And so we're going to go to Isaiah 9:6-7. But Merry Christmas as well. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, let it be so, Jesus. From this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Prince of Peace, the Prince of Shalom. Yahweh Shalom. Let me bring you to who this person is. In the book of Mark, we hear about a really cool story. If you join me in Mark 4:35-41, I'll read it. Jesus has done a whole lot. Been teaching, miracles, letting people know how awesome God is and that he's God in the flesh, and people are having a hard time accepting it. And he finally says, "Look, it's time for us to go across the other side of the lake." When you hear the phrase "the other side of the tracks," this is what this is referring to. Oh, we're going to go over to the other side of the lake? We're going to go over and see the heathens? And he says, "Yeah, let's go." So you've heard about Yahweh Shalom. The Lord is peace. You've just had me read for you something that we read during Christmas time all the time, right? To us, a child is born, a son is given. This is like this shout out to Jesus way back before he was physically on the scene. And he's Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Wonderful Counselor. Everlasting Father. Well, on that day, the Prince of Shalom got into a boat because he came here for us. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, let's go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Dear friends, Jesus, 100% man, 100% God, just as he was. He didn't get all dooted up. He didn't have anything spectacular going on about him. He just got in the boat. And there was other boats there with them. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep, on the cushion. Do you get this? There is a storm filling up the boat, and Jesus is asleep on a cushion. He didn't hit his head and get knocked out. Our Lord set up a cushion because he was tired. You know what it's like. I'm just going to rest my eyes a little bit. Mom, Dad's snoring again. Resting his eyes? No, he got cushion. I'm out. And he slept. What was he sleeping through? Anybody ever been that tired? I think he was more than just tired, but he was human and he was tired. And they woke him. And they said to him, teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? Has anybody had that conversation with Jesus this week? Do you not care what's going on in my life? Do you not care that my Christian brothers and sisters are being boneheads? Do you not care that my son won't tell me the... Never mind. That's my stuff. Okay, never mind. That's me. That's me. Do you not care that we're perishing? Do you not care that I have such an interruption in my life? Do you not care that my friend died? Do you not care? Have you wondered at all in the last year about God and whether he's paying attention? How about in your lifetime? Because some of us are like, They're human beings. They've got Yahweh Shalom, the Prince of Shalom, asleep there. They're about to get swamped. Half of them at least were fishermen, so a storm's not that big a deal. But this one's freaked them out. And they're like, don't you care? We're perishing. And he awoke. And he rebuked the wind. And he said to the sea, come on, friends, this is power. This is authority. He rebukes the wind and he speaks to the ocean or the lake in this case. He says, peace, arene, be still. And the wind ceased and there was great calm. For most of us, like Ben said, peace is calmness. Look, there's an old song. I'm not going to sing it, but sometimes he calms the storm and sometimes he calms the child. So he says, peace be still to the sea, and it's like word. No more. Then he looks to them and says, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear. They went from fear to fear. At least this one's a lot more appropriate. And then they said to one another, who then is this guy? Who's this man's? Who's he like? Why in the world? Look at him. Even the wind and the sea obey him. Friends, let me get right to it. The question really is not a what is peace, but who is peace? Who's peace? No, it's your guns. Come on. It's not Jesus. It's your weaponry. It's your money. It's your girl. It's your guy. It's the lack of war around you. It's the calmness all around you. Good. Oh, that's my peace. Something that'll actually be taken away eventually anyways. Friends, the sarcasm should be thick for you right now. It is Jesus. We know this. We're in church. We're in a building that hasn't fallen down yet. Thank you, Lord. The wires are in place. We're good. Some of you are like, oh, that's what those are. No, it's just keeping it from bowing out. Yeah, we're hanging in there. Good luck up there in the balcony. No, I'm just kidding. You guys, it's not a thing. It's not your circumstances. If joy is this fulfillment and this contentment and this happiness despite the circumstances, then peace is this oneness and this completion with God no matter what. No matter what. And he lives. So your peace lives. So good. They were told by him, we've got to go to the other side. It was a promise that they missed. What have you heard from him that you've missed? Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Nobody can snatch you out of my righteous right hand. I just got to do enough good things so Jesus will love me. What? Oh, you think way too highly of yourself if that's your thought. It's him. It's so good. It's him, and he's really faithful, like 100%. But I'll talk about that on the faithfulness message. Here we go. Three ways that him, Jesus, brings us peace. Again, shout out to blogger Audrey and those wonderful people at the Bible Project. I had somebody who I love dearly who you get to meet next week, who I'm super excited for you to meet him. He said to me, you know, man, it's good. You made a shout out to somebody whose stuff you were borrowing. I'm like, yeah. I can make stuff my own and put my name on it, but if somebody actually gave me something that I thought was cool, I'm going to give props to him or her. And so, three ways Jesus brings peace, brings shalom, arene, shalom with God, first and foremost, arene with others, and shalom with yourself. Get ready, we got to go through a bunch of Bible verses, and I don't just think, well, if I have enough Bible verses, then they'll believe me. I just couldn't get enough of the Bible this week, so overflow of my heart, here you go. We start with the peace with God, oneness, restoration, wholeness. Think of a fence, right? If anybody has seen a fence like this, you've probably been in my neighborhood. But there's parts that have blown down that haven't been put back together. There's parts that have been kicked out, and it's just not whole, right? It's not complete. Well, think of completion, making it right. Put back together. By God. Let's go to Romans 5. We spent a lot of time in there, so I'm not going to give you a bunch from that, although please go and read that whole chapter. Read the whole book. Enjoy it. Here you go, Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have been just as if we've never sinned. We've been made whole by faith, and faith, we found out, also is a gift from God, right? And so since we've been made whole and we have faith, we've been justified by faith, we have peace. Arene, shalom, with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not your efforts, but you do have to receive it, and you receive it, and I receive it by faith. Moving on to another one we spent a whole lot of time in, Ephesians 2, 13 through 17. I'll say it again. If you're watching on online, all five of you, you'll see it right there. Ephesians 2, 13 through 17. So much more, but I just cherry-picked these verses for us this morning. But now, remember that? Big buts of the Bible. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace. Peace is not a thing, it's a who. Who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. Friends, I don't even have time to unpack all of this, but he's talking about Gentiles, non-Jews, and Jews being made one by the blood of Jesus Christ. So he abolished the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, shalom, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and he preached peace to you who are far off, and peace to those who are near. Peace with God through Jesus Christ, his blood shed for you. You could not pay it, but you can receive it. And you can walk it out, and you can live it. And that intro there to this next one is peace with others. We know that in Jesus, we who were two now become one. Not just a picture of Jews and Gentiles, but men and women, Democrats and Republicans. Watch your mouth. I mean it so much. I said mean it twice. You know that's good, right? Are you dating? Right? We say things twice just to make sure. So you had a baby? I'm mentioning that a lot. Okay. Let's go to Colossians. Colossians 1. What'd you say? Now I'm looking for peace. I'm not bitter. Maybe a little bit. Thanks, man. If anybody's wondering, that was my dear friend, Nathan Plummer. By the blood of Christ, we have peace. Thank you. Good accountability. Check this out. This is peace with others. Colossians 1, 19 and 20. For in him, remember all the way back 2 weeks ago, in him, in Jesus, we have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all of it, right? For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Jesus is God in the flesh. And through him to reconcile. He was pleased, right? To reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. For who? Everybody who would see it. Peace with others. Look, we have not been saved by a God who doesn't know how to make the two one. We have not been saved by a God who is like, I just want you to love me and follow me, and I don't care about everybody else. He does care about everybody else. He calls us to actually be at peace with others. Can you argue well with others and still be at peace with them? A double dog dare you to try it. Can we start doing that? Jesus not only is on his way, he's in your heart. I mean, his kingdom's here in us. Whew, that's not part of the notes, Aaron. Come back. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Irene, he wants peace not only for you and God. I'm good. I'm going to heaven. You can go to hell. Nobody would ever act like that, would they? Would they? Would I? Nate, I'm not bitter anymore. Finally, peace with ourselves. This one is a tiny bit of a stretch. So what I wanted to look at was how we would look at God's faithfulness to be at peace with ourselves. I want to do what's right. I want to be at peace, but man, I just have this always, or I have fear, or I have the shame, I have this regret. Let's go to Philippians 1:6 to see about God and his faithfulness. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work, the good work, all good works, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. I'm going to be perfect and whole one day. And yet, because of Jesus, I'm perfect and I'm whole today. They both exist. It's an already, not yet. And it's a mystery. And you're like, yeah, but I don't feel it. I get it. Be at peace with yourself because you're a work in progress and God's going to complete that work. Want some more on that? Me too. 1 Thessalonians 5. We'll go 23 and 24. He is faithful. He will complete that which he begins. I got to get there. Who's going to beat me to it? Oh, the screen. Okay, good job. 1 Thessalonians 5. Gosh, I keep going to 2 Thessalonians. Maybe God's trying to tell me something. All right. Now may the God of peace. Can we say that? God of peace. Say it with me again. God of peace. You want to go Old Testament and Hebrew? Yahweh Shalom. Try it with me. It'll roll off the tongue. Ready? Yahweh Shalom. Woo! Okay. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. This word complete and whole, shalom, arene, may the God of shalom sanctify you, set you apart completely. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. So I guess all that I have left, and I have just a little bit of time. Do you want peace? Because what I didn't even get into today, and I left it out, was Jesus saying, don't suppose that I came for peace. I actually came for division. Because there's people that don't want peace. And those who do, and those who don't, will be at odds. But you and I, as Yahweh Shalom people, right? We are his people, his kingdom. We will live peacefully, and others may not want it. They think you're stupid. They think you're backwoods. They think you're naive. And they say as much. Some of us are traumatized, overwhelmed, battling just to believe that there's a God who even loves us. We got a battle within and we have a battle without. But dear friend, I'm going to say this to you. You and I got to start somewhere. Start with Jesus. This Yahweh Shalom, he's real. As I told you before, we're going to read a little bit about this peace that passes understanding. But before that, I thought, why not give you a little bit out of the mouth of Jesus in John 14 that could remind you that he wants peace for you with him, peace with others, and peace with yourself. John 14, 25 through 27. These things I've spoken to you while I'm still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. Do you know why we need things brought to our remembrance? Word. We forget. We ignore. We want to hear it again. Do you know that I've 7 amazing daughters. I have 4 wonderful boys. Now I have 5 grandchildren. Not one of them has ever said to me, I don't want you to tell me you love me again. They have said, show me. I've had my little girls, Daddy, do I look pretty? Oh, you look so pretty. You're beautiful inside and out. They get into a certain age and they don't want to hear it, and then they get older and they want to hear it again. But we need to remember. And Jesus says, I'm sending my spirit to you to remind you. The Father will send him in my name, and he'll teach you all the things, and he'll bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. So let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Finally, as you're physically able, will you stand with me for Philippians 4, 4 through 7? If you want peace, Jesus has given it. This fruit is all you can eat and more. Will you receive? Will you start? Some of you need to reach out to somebody and be encouraged, to be mentored, to be discipled. Some of you need to be counseled. In Jesus' name, through his word, through good therapy, God loves you and wants you. You want peace, you don't know how to do it. I'll give you a chance to come up and be prayed for afterwards. I love you. I'm going to put my mask on. You can come up here. We'll pray. I'm going to ask any elders, any pastors, any Christians in Jesus Christ that know that they can pray for people to come up here and pray. But you heard this last week. It bears repeating, and there's a whole lot of fruit in here, by the way. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness or gentleness, more on that later, be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Church, don't lose that phrase. Surpasses all understanding. You won't quite get it, but it'll come. And you can receive it. You don't have to figure it out. Why am I feeling such peace? Hey, baby girl, baby boy, just receive it. Let it land on you. It will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Father, I want this fresh fruit for me. I want it for Kathy. I want it for my babies. I want it for my grandbabies. I want it for all my family in Christ. I want it for my friends. I want it for my community. Lord, there are people here today that are just now coming to grips with the fact that you're God and they're not, and I pray that they would submit to you and have this peace that passes understanding. There's people in this room right now that are so far from you, and yet they know you and they've submitted to you, and they think somehow they've been snatched out of your hand, but they're not. May they know that you are faithful and you'll do it. You are their peace. You are our peace. God, may we remember that. May we believe that. I pray for us to have eyes to see you, Jesus, ears to hear you, and our hearts to be at peace, be one with you. I pray this for me, and I pray this for all of us. I pray for more and more people who are far off to come on in. God, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.